My next guest is the exceptional journalist from Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake. If you're not listening to that show in the 6 o'clock hour, you absolutely need to. She specializes in news in the Native American community, and it's pretty much the only place you're going to find it. Ogema Gnu Ikwe is kind enough to join us today to talk about what is the most pathetic fine I have ever seen in regards to violating the earth. Ogema, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Hey, Nibuju, it's good to be back, Matt. And I just want to throw this in there as a lifelong Minnesotan. I do not follow the Vikings for that reason, with that what happened last night. I just don't. I've watched all of you over the years over and over again be disappointed, so I just don't try anymore.
Your hair won't gray, your heart, your blood pressure won't rise. You are a healthier human being than the rest of us for that.
Well, I hope so. Considering the work that I do with Native Roots Radio basically means that I'm getting gray hair and my stress levels are rising from this, as you were talking about what is the weakest fine. So if you're not caught up right now, the Line 3 pipeline in northern Minnesota is nearing completion. Enbridge Energy is a multi-billion-dollar oil company putting in a tar sands oil, some of the dirtiest oil in the entire world, through the heart of the pristine waters of northern Minnesota. And the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources found out recently that Enbridge had violated one of their water permits. Enbridge is allowed to take a certain amount of water from certain places in Minnesota, despite the fact we've been in the middle of a drought, which is neither here nor there as part of this conversation. But the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources last week ordered Enbridge to pay up to $3.3 million in mitigation, restoration, and a fine for violating a Line 3 pipeline construction permit. What happened, actually, in actuality, and I want to give a shout out to Scott Russell from HealingMNStories.com because his exceptional journalism provides a lot of my information. So basically what happened is that Enbridge hit what's called the calcareous fen, which is a special and highly protected form of wetland that exists in Minnesota. The problem started actually around January 21st, 2021, but the Minnesota DNR did not learn about that violation until June 15th, which is nearly a five-month delay. And it is now September, and the public is just finding out about this. What was noted in the records that Enbridge was providing to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission and the Minnesota DNR was simply noted as basically an uncontained dewatering. They kind of just left it at that. And it was not further examined. So the Minnesota DNR and the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission approved a plan to create independent monitors who were supposed to be permanent full-time staff in the field monitoring Enbridge's work because of, you know, reasons like this. And this is not the first time that Enbridge Energy has done not its due diligence in something of these matters. Enbridge had a leak in Wisconsin in late 2019 that the state of Wisconsin did not find about until about 18 months later, I believe. So Enbridge is known for this kind of thing, but the independent monitors plan that the state of Minnesota made the deal with Enbridge for were supposed to report directly to state agencies such as the DNR, but the Public Utilities Commission allowed Enbridge Energy to both select and train the independent monitors. So about half of the independent monitors had worked for Enbridge in the past and may or may not work for the company going forward. So that kind of raises questions about like their actual independence. And clearly they were not a fail-safe in reporting this permit violation.
Well, and we can make sure we mention too here, the DNR's responsibility is not to Enbridge. It's to the people of Minnesota to make sure that Enbridge is not screwing up our environment. And also throw the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency in there as well, because they've been pretty lackluster on this whole thing as well. And this violation, we should mention too, where this happened is has been going through extraordinary drought. So the damage done here was even more compounded because you really didn't have the water to spare in the first place and the wetlands to spare in the first place because the drought has been so bad. It didn't stop Enbridge, who we should also make sure we mention. They're all they're doing is digging the pipeline right now. They're creating the pipeline, not shifting any oil through it. They can't even build the thing safely, and yet here we are.
Not only can they not build it safely, but they also have not put in line, as required by the state, they have not put up the money that they need to decommission the old route of Line 3. So they haven't ponied up the dough to decommission the old Line 3 before they start putting oil into the new Line 3. But I digress. So this calcareous bend, this bend that they hit, is a unique type of wetland. It's got really stringent statutory protections, and it relies on the upwelling of mineral-rich groundwater to thrive. So this is something that, despite the fact that Enbridge is going to pay up to $3.3 million in restoration and mitigation for doing this, that's not going to be enough to make up for the damage that they did by destroying this. I mean, if I, as a regular citizen, were to go out and find a calcareous bend and damage it in such a way, like drill and try to put my own well into it, I'd be facing massive fines. They would probably consider arresting me.
Oh, and the DNR would be patting themselves on the back about catching you doing that, wouldn't they?
They absolutely would, because what's been happening in northern Minnesota, they've been arresting and zip-tying water protectors and having them spend a night in jail for even trespassing on Enbridge's property. Quote, Enbridge's property.
Yeah.
Let me put that in quotes. It's actually public property that the state has basically leased to Enbridge and allowed them to put water protectors in jail for supposedly trespassing on.
It reminds me so much of when the oil rig collapsed in the Gulf of Mexico, and BP basically put the entire sheriff's department of any coastal sheriff's department on their payroll to basically keep people out of public beaches, because God forbid we actually see what this oil does to natural areas. I want to bring up the fact that this is the part which really upsets me. This isn't the only problem they've had with this pipeline building project. How many total violations, leaks, infractions, you know, violating of the rivers? How many total problems has Enbridge had building this pipeline so far?
That's the funny thing, is that nobody really knows. Enbridge has not reported these problems to the public, to the DNR, to the Public Utilities Commission, any of these lines of defense to protect Minnesota. Minnesotans, Minnesotan water, and the environment here were completely ignored. My understanding is that Enbridge had a drilling mud release into the Mississippi River within about 20 miles of the Mississippi headwaters. And at that same location, they had anywhere between 6 and 8 releases into a wetland. So the difference between them releasing it directly into the river versus releasing it into the wetland is different, because releasing it into the river is different, but releasing it into the wetland, they were not supposed to have any inadvertent releases, which is what Enbridge calls them. What most people call them is a frack out, which means they pressurized their line and their line blew all of this chemical stuff into the water. But the DNR and the Minnesota Public the Minnesota DNR actually put on their webpage, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, the MPCA, actually posted on social media saying that Enbridge had violated that permit by allowing by having these inadvertent discharges into wetlands, into marshes, into protected wetlands in Minnesota. But so far, we haven't heard anything about those at all. And my understanding is there was 28 of those. And then one release into a river. 28. Because they are drilling under about 22 rivers across Minnesota. Jeez. And that does not even include the number of wetland that they have to go through, even if they're not drilling underneath the river. What really is crazy about Minnesota, what really gets me, is that the maximum fine, even me as a person, as a regular citizen, if I would have hit this calcareous fence, the maximum allowed by law for this fine is actually only $20,000.
Wow.
So $20,000 of that $3.3 million that Enbridge is supposed to pay in mitigation and restoration and a fine is actually the fine. The maximum fine allowed by our regulatory system is $20,000. So their fine is $20,000. That's not full accountability. For Enbridge, when they're building a $4 billion pipeline across Minnesota, that's just the cost of doing business. That's less than 1% of the total cost of them building this pipeline. And $3.3 million less $20,000 is not going to be enough to restore the damage they did after they breached that aquifer.
Native Roots Radio journalist Ogama Gnu-Ikwe is joining us. If they pay it, and I should mention this, you bring up the fact that they haven't put the money forward yet for the dismantling of the old pipeline. They're already, the stories that came out of the Minnesota Reformer version said that the Enbridge was, clearly was debating their options, which is either A, calling whichever politicians are in their pocket to negate them having to pay this, or sending in their lawyers to tie this up and trying to get out of paying it. But the reality is this is a company, once again, they have no intention of doing this safely. That's clear by their own actions. They are doing this on the cheap. They're not putting the investment in the state. And I think there's no doubt at this point that eventually, probably when Enbridge sells the pipeline or it basically abandons it because it's not making them enough money, then we'll find out the real truth about the environmental disaster that this is. And the DNR and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency will try to act like they're outraged like the rest of us. And it's just a nightmare because, once again, no one seems to be looking out for the state of Minnesota.
And Enbridge has destroyed the state of Minnesota in more than one place, too. In 1991, Enbridge had one of the largest inland oil spills in Minnesota. And the only reason that it did not destroy the Mississippi River, because it ended up going into the Prairie River, the only reason it didn't get to the Mississippi is because the Prairie River was frozen over that year.
Wow.
300,000 gallons or something like that of crude, of what they considered crude oil, but is tar sands oil. They've already had this happen in Minnesota, and the DNR doesn't want to bring that up, but going back to, this information here, Scott Russell is an amazing journalist. I believe he used to write for the Star Tribune, and he runs a blog called HealingMNStories.com, and it's wonderful. And I love this this postscript that he did on media coverage. He said both NPR and the Star Tribune called Enbridge for a comment, as is their duty. And Enbridge spokesperson is cited in both their articles saying that Enbridge shares a strong desire to protect Minnesota waters and the environment. But he's questioning the NPR and Star Tribune for printing something. It would be like a reporter asking somebody who just assaulted somebody by punching them in the nose, asking them for a comment, and that person says, hey, I'm just a nonviolent person working for non-peace. Like, how does a reporter uncritically quote what's obvious nonsense?
Well, Hannibal Lecter just loved ketchup. That's all he's just saying. I mean, yes, he would kill people and eat them, but he really was just a big fan of Heinz ketchup. That's all. Please.
Exactly. And until the state of Minnesota makes it a problem for these companies to make a profit here, they're not going to stop doing this. And people will describe the Line 3 pipeline right now as the last tar sands pipeline, and it may very well be, but this is not the last line of these kinds of companies coming to visit Minnesota or coming to try to take the water that we have here. We have some of the largest amounts of fresh water in the entire world here in Minnesota. And until the state of Minnesota raises its protections to protect what we do have here, this is going to keep happening. If it's not Enbridge, it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be Exxon. It's going to be some company that wants to create a water pipeline to help fix the drought in California. Who knows? Yeah. The state of Minnesota has really not even looked at or started creating laws that would protect us from something like that. And now that water's on the stock market, Minnesota really needs to consider what the future for us looks like. I mean, we're going to have to protect ourselves.
Well, and I'll say this. The only time I think that people are starting to get outraged is if a bunch of wealthy people's property gets jeopardized by this, then all of a sudden there'll be hell to pay. But until that time, we don't have anyone looking out for what's best for Minnesota, that's for sure. And clearly not at the DNR, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. I don't talk about this nearly enough, but I also don't want to step on your toes, because if you're not listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm awake at 6 o'clock. You need to be. Ogama is giving updates every day on this project, and the complete lack of any concern about our waterways and our nature and Native American rights in regards to any of this. She is giving a breakdown every single day on this, and I highly encourage you to follow her and listen in the next hour after my show is over in the 6 o'clock hour and pay attention, because there is a lot of great information that we were getting there. Ogama Gnu Ikwe. Ogama, we'll look forward to hearing from you tonight. Thank you very much. I appreciate this. As frustrating as it is, I'm glad we're able to get at least some information out about this. So thank you very much.
Yes, always. Thank you for having me. And then if anybody's interested in getting involved, make sure you visit stopline3.org. That's going to have a lot of good resources for you. And, of course, tune into Native Roots Radio to listen to us.
Stop.
Anytime, Matt, you want to have me on and talk about this, I'm happy to come back. Or if you want to talk about it on your own, that'd be great, too.
No problem.